So I'm standing here in the kitchen of the Radler Bar and German Restaurant here near Logan Square in Chicago for the opening night and closing night of The Merchant of Venice for the Backroom Shakespeare Project. The house opened 20 minutes ago. It's 6:30. The house is almost completely filled already, and the show doesn't begin for an hour. So both the audience and maybe in a couple of cases the actors have plenty of time to be hammered before the actual performance begins. There's going to be a little bear baiting. There's going to be a little getting the audience involved. There is such a very, very cool energy in this room. Not at all the kind of energy you get when you're waiting backstage in a very quiet auditorium. With a very polite audience. This is a bar, and it's only groundlings. And I see trays of pitchers of beer going past. This should be a very, very, very fun evening.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 455, Backroom Shakespeare Backstage. Back in April of 2015, on podcast episode 437, I spoke with Samuel Taylor about the Backroom Shakespeare Project, the company he co-founded with Kelly Risto, and his book, My Life with the Shakespeare Cult. Little did I know that that interview would lead me to a gig, a non-paying gig, but a gig still, performing The Merchant of Venice with the project at the Radler Bar and German Restaurant in Chicago last July of 2015. Since I was thankfully playing the relatively small roles of the Prince of Aragon and the Duke, I had a little more time on my hands backstage waiting for the performance to begin, so I managed to talk to a handful of my fellow actors about their work in this play specifically, with the Backroom Shakespeare Project generally, and why the hell they'd wanted to learn all these lines with only one rehearsal for one performance in a bar in the first place. First up was actor Michael Perez, with whom I'd worked previously at the Writers Theater here in Chicago. And as you'll hear, we were talking in our backstage area, which was also the restaurant's kitchen and almost completely wide open to the rest of the restaurant. Mike Perez, we're back in the kitchen getting ready to go backstage at the Radler for tonight's performance of Merchant of Venice. And you are playing the title role of the Merchant of Venice. Why? How?
I am playing Antonio tonight, the Merchant of Venice. Also, as we talked about earlier on, a subject, a catalyst for a lot of revealing tension, right? He taunts and taunts and taunts his opponent until his opponent has the chance to have his chance at revenge.
Got it.
His chance to have a chance. Other people talk about him from across Belmont and beyond in Venice, you know, but myself, not a whole lot of stage time, you know what I mean?
Well, and not a lot of lines, not as many lines to rehearse as you might, memorize as you might think.
It's no Hamlet, it's no Richard III.
And excellent use of the word titular, by the way.
Thank you very much.
So talk to me, you're a stakeholder, right? What is that in the Backroom Shakespeare, what does that mean?
A stakeholder means more than a show-to-show-to-show investment. Right? Okay. Someone comes in here and joins our crew like you are tonight.
Yes.
Thankfully. Thank you for being here. You are completely invested in your responsibilities tonight. I want to be doing the same thing and then also with the other stakeholders invested in our responsibilities as an organizing group of this project and trying to keep it a project. And there's nothing wrong with theater companies, but we're not that at the moment.
Got it. And so talk to me about the values that you have assigned to this performance. I know that Sam talks in his book, My Life in the Shakespeare Cult, about the five or six values that you have.
Yeah.
But talk to me about the ones that have been assigned for tonight.
Yeah. For those of you who haven't heard about our values before, the values are, since we are sans director, our values are the pillars that we can have a personal and group check-in with. Tonight's values are actuality, generosity, and courage. Courage being that thing that you hear in rehearsal or otherwise, to just make that courageous choice. If you have the option to take the leap, it's taking it. There is also actuality, responding to what's actually happening in the room, which might be lots of people laughing.
Hey, what do you mean?
Which, That's my Bassanio. He's always causing a problem.
He's helping out in the kitchen. That's just part of his warm-up.
Me responding to him talking was actually happening. That's actuality. Right. And then there's also...
being truthful. It's just being true. Yes.
Yes. And then there's generosity, which is being generous with your focus, generous with your voice, generous with your choices, and going all in, and in.
And as I understand it, generous to the play. We are telling the story of the play without a director to help us shape it. So we are having to, as actors, go, oh, wait a second, this is an important beat. We need everybody focus on this.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Well said.
Yeah. So it's. I mean, we've had one rehearsal, but in that one rehearsal and maybe a handful of emails, there's been a lot of kind of, ooh, shouldn't we focus on this beat, this line, this, et cetera? And everybody goes, yes, yes, we absolutely should. Yeah. There's been a lot of yes anding, which seems very appropriate for Chicago theater, not company, but project.
Yeah, and isn't it very like sort of tricksy hobbits to call it a rehearsal? We say, hey, we're going to have a rehearsal. Yeah. And when we say rehearsal, no, we mean we want you to be 110% off book and go f***ing all out. Pardon my French.
Was that's that all right.
Okay.
And we're at a German restaurant, so I am drinking a German Pilsner. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking the Justice, a drink designed by the Radler that has, I know it has rye and it has two other ingredients, but I saw rye and so I chose it. That's right there. That's courage.
That is courage, and that is our actor warm-up. Michael, good luck tonight, man.
Thank you.
Likewise.
Break your legs.
Thank you. You too.
After talking to Antonio, it seems only right to speak to Jason Economus, who plays the famous Shylock, not the hero of many a modern interpretation, but the original villain of this so-called comedy and famously troublesome work.
Jason, is this your first time performing with the Backroom Shakespeare Project?
No, I think I did one, the very first one they did about 3-4 years ago.
Oh my God, and now you're playing Shylock, the Jew, in The Merchant of Venice,
yes.
With no rehearsal, with one rehearsal.
One rehearsal.
How do you feel? I mean, the show starts in about 45
terrified,
minutes.
Terrified, excited, inspired, overwhelmed, alive.
Why would you?
My heart's racing. Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. No, that's good, your heart's racing, but why would you take on such a role with no rehearsal in a bar?
This
for
is
no
the
money.
First one, I don't know why. I'm really questioning.
Because
it's really, really demanding.
The size of the thing.
Yeah, because those things that he's talking about are so intense. They're so dense.
You got to get this right.
Exactly. And you want to understand the world that he's living in. And it's very hard to do that when you're kind of on your own
right.
And then you're just plopping in for the night of.
Right.
But I think it's exciting. Everyone's coming at it with some really good energy, good choices, good crowd out there right now. I think that's why I do it.
Yeah.
Because right now,
yeah.
I'm feeling all that like, ooh.
Yeah.
What are we about to make?
Right.
You know, like this is a big, big feast we're about to have.
This is true. I mean, this is the second rehearsal, and it's opening night, and it's closing night.
Everything. The whole run's happening right now. So,
dude, break a yarmulke.
Thank you. Shabbat shalom.
I was able to record some of this evening's performance, as you'll hear, and I'm so sorry I didn't capture Jason's Hath Not a Jew Eyes soliloquy. He brought such heat to this speech, such intelligence and indignation, and such comedy to the whole performance. It was amazing. In this crowded bar, during that speech, you could hear a pin drop. And speaking of bringing comedy to the performance, next I talked to Caitlin Costello, who shepherded the evening's event. Okay, Caitlin Costello, not only are you a stakeholder with Backroom Shakespeare Project, not only are you the general, the captain of tonight's event.
The captain of the ship
The
tonight.
Captain of the ship. Not only are you those things, you're also playing a tiny little part in The Merchant of Venice called Portia.
A little role.
A little role.
It's ridiculous. I thought I was going to take a walk-on role,
uh-huh.
But somebody advised me that in order to captain, you have to be really invested in your part as well.
Oh,
so I said, well then, I'll do the whole thing.
But Merchant of Venice, in a bar, it's a troubled play. But is it really? This is my question.
Yes.
Okay.
It is.
Okay.
It makes people really feel things.
Uh-huh.
I think...
like discomfort?
Yeah, and that's a really exciting feeling for me.
Uh-huh.
Having a bit of a clowning background,
yes.
Which I think you do too,
uh-huh.
To see what people will do when we're all behaving in a majority that no longer the majority agrees about.
Right. Well, and I think what was so cool about this when I signed on, I was happy to do it. But then I heard, no, we're going to lean into the play's racism. We're going to lean into all the things that are troublesome about this play. And I thought, well, that's kind of right. I mean, Shakespeare wrote it as a comedy. So what was it that made it a comedy?
That's a great question.
And I will find out in about 2.5 hours.
I think the audience will laugh for a long time, yeah. And then we're going to hit a point where they realize that maybe they've been laughing at the expense of somebody,
right.
Or a group of people,
right.
And that maybe the laughter is so that we don't have to turn the mirror inward,
mm-hmm.
You know? But when I was doing the cutting, it was so clear to me that the things to cut down, the extraneous stuff, was the romantic comedy fluff.
Yeah.
And the stuff to keep was the slurs and the prejudice and mm-hmm. the comments and the things we say to do and hurt
and
each other.
And the stereotypes on every level.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. So we're going for it.
We're going for it in a room, in a writer's pit of bloodthirsty drunks.
Without the safety net of a director in rehearsal telling us, it's okay, you're an actor doing this.
Yeah.
You almost feel like, no, I'm Caitlin saying this about people of color.
Right.
And that's totally terrifying.
Right.
Because nobody else is justifying it for me. I have to find that place myself.
So by the time we finish tonight's basically second rehearsal with an audience in a bar,
right.
We'll be ready to open, I think.
Yeah. Come see us tomorrow. Right.
I've never seen a Portia that was as charming and funny and likable as Caitlin's performance. I wish you could have seen it. Fortunately, you'll get to hear some of it in a few minutes.
Hi, my name is Sarah Gamitter, the author of In the Garden, A Darwinian Love Story, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Forget for a moment about the backroom Shakespeare. Where can you RSC the reduced Shakespeare? Next month, we'll begin our fall of 2015 tour performing the complete history of Comedy Abridged and the ultimate Christmas show Abridged in Pennsylvania, Georgia, Virginia, California, Louisiana, North Carolina, Missouri, and Kansas. And then next April and May of 2016, we'll perform the official Reduced Shakespeare Company premiere of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged, at the Folger Theater at the Folger Shakespeare Library in Washington, D.C. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information. Now, given the nature of the event, I was able to walk around the bar before the show started, and I ran into another Chicago actor I know from the Looking Glass Theater and who's a veteran of the Backroom Shakespeare Project and who was able to give me some expert advice.
Tom Cox, when I was here last time for Othello, you were playing whatever that Italian was, Brabantio?
Brabantio, yeah.
Oh, cool. I was actually kind of right. Yeah, and you set off...
More importantly, Desdemona's father.
Desdemona's father, yes. But you set... I remember you started off the show with such a great energy because you're the father and they're yelling drunkenly in the street and we're in a bar.
Yeah.
So it was a great way to kick things off. You're not in Merchant of Venice tonight.
I'm not in Merchant of Venice.
So how did you get out of it?
I was actually asked to participate, and I looked at the fact that the rehearsal was on my daughter's 8th birthday,
yeah.
And I thought, I can't do it.
Yeah.
Not to mention my wife was saying, no, you can't do it.
Right, yes. No, and these are a lot perfectly good excuses. What tips can you give to me?
I've already given you the tip. You need to be drinking right now.
Yeah, okay, you're right. I need to get a drink in my hand.
At very least, yeah.
Right, all right.
You can drink it, but you have it in your hand. It'll make you feel better, I promise.
All right, I am off to the bar.
Samuel Taylor's big thing is always, fear is your friend. Anxiety can go suck it, but fear is your friend.
Fear is your friend. Anxiety can go suck it, but fear is your friend.
That's right.
I'm going to have somebody knit that into a sampler. Thank you, sir.
You bet.
All right.
Have a good time.
Thank you.
If you know The Merchant of Venice, you know there are two key roles, the Prince of Morocco and the Prince of Aragon. I spoke with my fellow prince, Namir Smallwood, backstage.
Namir, my fellow foreign prince. Wait, this is not your first time with Backroom Shakespeare.
Oh, it's my third.
Third? How have they differed?
Well,
or are they all the same? Are they all terrifying in the different way?
Yeah, depending on how many lines you have to say. The first time I did it, I played Iago.
Oh.
So that was the stupidest thing I've ever done in my life, but the most rewarding.
So the Prince of Morocco is nothing.
No.
And did you play it with, what's his name, who just played it 2 months ago?
I played with James the first time we did it, yeah.
I bet that was super interesting.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
So why do you do this? What's exciting for you about this? Why learn all those lines?
Well, it makes me better. You know, if you can do Backroom Shakespeare, you can do anything. You know, and the first time I did it, I had to learn Iago in 3 weeks.
Oh.
So that was about 50, 65 pages of dialogue. And I had all the help in the world. And
you did? Did you work with other actors?
Oh, yeah. Kelly Risto and Sam helped me. And mm-hmm. Katie, everybody helped. So, you know, so it was James. So yeah. It was great, you know. So after I did that, I was like, there's nothing in the world that scares me. So
you're invincible.
I guess.
Oh, that's cool. All right. You have given me hope. Anything I need to know since this is my first time?
Just have fun, man.
All right.
Don't worry about lines.
Okay.
You know it.
Yeah.
You don't call line or just make it up.
It's like the SATs. Either we know it or we don't.
Exactly.
Either we know it. All right. Cool. Thank you, sir.
You got it, man.
Break a leg.
Break a leg.
Then I spoke with John Beale, and as you'll hear, I couldn't even remember what part he was playing. With only one rehearsal, not only did I not know who everyone was playing, some of the first conversations I had with a couple of these folks are almost literally the ones you're hearing right now on this podcast.
Okay, so it turns out I'm not the only Backroom Shakespeare Project virgin tonight. We got John Beale, who's also a virgin. How did you get to be involved?
I've been coming for a couple of years now. I had mutual friends, actor friends who were in it. I came, I loved it.
Yeah.
Something I've always wanted to do. I also teach Shakespeare up in Evanston. I'm part of a Shakespeare Theater Company up in Evanston.
Oh, nice.
And we actually share a lot of the same principles in terms of telling the story and sharing and engaging with the audience. We do outdoor Shakespeare every summer.
Right.
So it's right up in my alley, and I've loved it. I've been coming and enjoying it, and I'm really trying to get in with them. I'm like, okay, if you guys ever need help, everyone players, you just let me know.
That's sweet.
So I finally...
You finally weaseled your way in.
Yeah, weasel is a really good word for it. It's mostly I just sucked up. I was telling you a story earlier. I usually stand in the doorway or somewhere very visibly to be like, hey, look who's here. It's Tall John.
Tall John.
He's
tall,
bald
John.
Yeah. Seen another show. But...
Well, it's such a stupid question we get asked all the time. How do you memorize those lines? But here, with no rehearsal, with one rehearsal, I think it's a legitimate question.
Yeah.
How did you memorize all the lines?
It's really tough.
Who are you playing?
I play Lorenzo.
Oh, right.
I'm not in the whole show, which is, thank God. It's really, I usually memorize by doing. I'm usually on stage, you're with your partner, you're looking someone in the eye. So, and I did most of this on my own. Like, I really haven't had a lot of time to get together with friends or even the cast. But what I learned is using my iPhone, there's a couple apps where you just record your voice, and I listen to it over and over and over and over and over again.
Very good.
And that's helped a lot. I'm doing another show called All Our Tragic, which is 12 hours long, and those people are trying to memorize their lines, and they suggested that to me, so I really adopted that way of using line memorization, and they swear by it, and I like it.
Yeah, no, I totally know my lines in my backyard. whether I know them here at the Rattler tonight, we'll still wait to be seen.
It's crazy how, I first rehearsal I came in, I was like, I'm totally memorized. I had them at my house like an hour ago. Then you get up and you're in a different setting and you're looking at people in the eye and you're just blank. It's so interesting that happens, and I'm glad I know that now.
Yeah.
So I can, learning going forward, you have to adapt to that kind of stuff.
Well, we'll break a leg. We'll see how it goes.
You too.
Yeah,
it's gonna be fun. I'm excited.
Thank you.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. I wish I could have recorded more of the performance, but if you can get to a Backroom Shakespeare Project performance in Chicago, you really should. It's free, and there's beer. Check out their website at backroomshakespeare.com to find out more about them and when their next performances are. As it happens, they'll be performing Twelfth Night in Los Angeles on September 27th, 2015. Go to backroomshakespeare.com for more information. Then send us your favorite alcohol-fueled Shakespeare event via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also contact us on Facebook or Twitter, and we'll respond. Some of you actually posted reviews of this podcast on iTunes. Thank you very much for those. If you haven't done it yet, just not too late, and every review of the podcast helps. Just click on over to iTunes or Facebook or Twitter now. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, Prince of Niles Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout shout-out this week goes to Norma Peel. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Samuel Taylor and Michael Perez, who are responsible for me being invited to play with the Backroom Shakespeare. Thanks also to Caitlin Costello and the entire cast for their amazing energy and for speaking with me. Thanks also to playwright Sarah Gemitter, who has also trod the boards with the project. Thanks to my daughter, Daisy Two, who recorded the scenes I was in. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Tichner, 455 1365ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Again, if you choose that wherein I am contained, straight shall our nuptial rites be solemnized. It's crazy.
I am enjoying my oath to observe three things. Never one told to anyone which casket was I chosen. Dos. If I fail at the right casket, never in my life to woo a maiden way ahead. Grace, if I could fail in fortune of my choice, immediately to leave you and be gone.
Yeah?
Gold. Silver. Who is it? Silver, base, lead. Who chooseth me must give a hazard of he hath. You shall look fairer ere I give or hazard. What says the golden chest? Let me see. Who chooseth me shall gain what many men desire. I will not choose what many men desire because I will not yomp with common spirits. Yomp!
Yomp!
Well, then, lead our silver treasure house. Who chooseth me shall get as much as he deserves.
You don't deserve her.
Expectations since 1981. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less.